we are right back into the action for another day of the weekend. It is no ordinary day of the weekend. It's the return of NFL football tonight. Welcome to the Thursday edition of Before You Bet, Aaron, live right now on the Covers YouTube and Axe channels. Happy to have you guys along for this season opener in the NFL tonight. And we got a great big show planned for you guys tonight, or today. Four total bets here for the Thursday nighter in Kansas City with the Ravens in 10, our usual handful of Major League Baseball picks. And Jake Butt will be along to discuss week two college football action and a couple spots he likes here in the NFL this weekend as well. If you guys want to be a part of the show, very easy to do so. Hit up that live chat on YouTube on X. What do you like for the game tonight? What do you like this weekend? A couple guys in there already. We say what's up to Chris. NASCAR expert, bold one here. Ravens alt spread, -6.5, +305. Getting inside that key number of 7. Love to see that. Okay, let's get right into it here, guys. Actually, before we do that, I'm going to tell you, producer Mick told me to tell you guys, we're very close to 20,000 subscribers here on the Covers YouTube channel. So make sure you hit that subscribe button right down there. A lot of new viewers tuning in here since the start of football season. So you're not going to want to miss any of the action here on the Covers YouTube channel. Make sure you are subscribed. Okay. It is now time to bring in the man with the sexiest smile in all of sports betting. There he is, smiling, laughing for us. Giddy, how you doing, buddy?
It's Thursday. We got football. It's been a long road. It's been a long summer of baseball where you're just grinding out plays. And finally, you got a little to look forward to. So a few things to get accomplished today, but I got the night to myself and looking forward to it, pal.
I have a new TV to set up and a new TV stand to set up. The TV, not so much of a problem. The TV stand, it comes in a box and you got to build it. Better late than never. My wife sent me a picture. It arrived on my doorstep here this morning. I don't know if I'm going to have it built in time for the game, but yeah, I will try. Okay, let's get right into it here. We have two picks each for the game tonight. I'm going to get us started. The first pick of the 2024 NFL season. No messing around. No need to get fancy. I'm just going to go with the Kansas City Chiefs to cover the spread here. I'm going to take them -3. So Kansas City's offense, I absolutely think they're poised for a rebound here in 2024. Last year's 22.2 points per game. I think that's going to go down as an outlier in the Mahomes, Andy Reid era. This is a team that usually hovers around the 30-point per game mark, and I think a return to form is in order for them. So their offense, I think, is going to go in the right direction. I think Baltimore's defense might take a little bit of a step back here. Of course, Mike McDonald, defensive coordinator, whiz kid, off to be the head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. So I think their D could be taking a step back. They did allow the fewest points per game in the NFL last season. I don't think that's going to be in store this season. And here's a bit of a theme. I've talked about this a little bit this week. Kansas City came out very flat for the season opener last year. Of course, they lost at home to the Lions. So I don't think history is going to repeat itself. I think that performance is going to be top of mind for them. I think maybe it's something they've been reminded of leading up to this game. So I do think that they will come out with a little bit more urgency tonight against the Ravens. Okay, Jingles, he loves his props. He's got two. Get us started with one of the newest Ravens here, Derrick Henry.
All right, Derrick Henry over 6.5 receiving yards, -110. This is kind of one and done territory at this number. Kind of expecting a big workload just in snap share, with Todd Monken obviously saying that they want to get him a lot on the field. There's really not a lot in terms of split share that's going to be happening with Rasheen Ali doubtful. I mean, Justin's going to get his go, probably be the third down back, but Henry could get some looks in the passing game. If he can get two targets, I'd consider this a good bet in that spot. New toy. Let's see what he has. Let's see what we can get out of him. And there are some serious issues digging in to this Baltimore offensive line. I put out a tweet earlier today. We got Andrew Voorhees, starting left guard, 0 starts in the NFL. Daniel Falele, right guard, 1 start. And Patrick McCurry, he's only started about 53% of his games over 5 seasons. So there is some worry within that Baltimore line. So we could be playing behind the sticks. There could be an issue where Lamar can't make those 5-step drops, find the deep things. So we'll have to go underneath. There's a lot to like, and I really think this Kansas City defense could, and Spags could get a go on a team that I'm seeing regress hopefully this year.
Okay, guys, we have a poll up in the live chat over on YouTube right now. Who do you like to cover the spread tonight, the Chiefs or the Ravens? Hopefully you're on my side. Hopefully you like Kansas City and they do take care of business. Okay, let's keep rolling with our picks for this game. So if you watched this show last year, I think I made this bet pretty much every game in the second half of the season and the playoffs. An absolute wagon. I think it's going to even out a little bit here throughout the course of this season. But first game of the year, I got to go back to the well on these Chiefs second half under. So I'm going to pick the second half under in this game. Numbers sitting there at 23.5. So Chiefs second half unders last season, if you do not know, they went 18-3 with an average combined score of just 14.9 points in Chiefs games. So these two teams, how do they match up? They ranked first and fifth in second half points allowed last season. Also notice that Baltimore's offense did fall off in the second half on the road in quite a few of their games there last season. And when did these two teams last play? It was the AFC Championship game. They combined for just 3 points in the second half of that one. Like I said, I think this trend will even out as the season goes on, but I got to show it some love. Back on the wagon, Chiefs second half under. Next up, a little bit of a high-profile player here, Patrick Mahomes. What do you like for him?
Yeah, we can't bet random people all the time, third-string wide receivers. So let's just go Patty Mahomes over 266.5. Minus 113. We released it on NFL Prop Picks powered by the Blitz at 257. We're seeing it go up. A big thing here is obviously the Chiefs have one of the highest pass rates in all of football at 60% last year. That was a top five rate. And we're expecting some defensive regression here with Baltimore, without DC Mike McDonald, without Patrick Queen, without Jadeveon Clowney. They had a lot of pressure last year, 60 sacks. They're not going to get that this year. We're actually going to see what this secondary, more or less, actually what the corners are on this team, because I think they're more than average. PFF grades both these corners, starting corners, around 55 per position. So if that pressure doesn't get up, if this Kansas City O-line can hold on to that pressure, we could see old Patty Mahomes going deep, and he has more weapons than he's ever had right now. I mean, Xavier Worthy, I think he's 165 pounds. He could be used in a pretty gimmicky role, but expect to get big game from Rashee Rice. I mean, Pacheco's in his third year. Kind of a sneaky play with Samaje Perine in the passing game. We could see him as a better Jerick McKinnon role. There's a lot to like, and there's a lot of weapons. And like you said, coming after what happened last year in the opener, wouldn't be surprised if they put something big together in that early game script.
Yeah, I do not expect a Super Bowl hangover for Kansas City here in this game. Okay, let's kick around a couple picks here for Major League Baseball. Then we're going to throw it to Jake. But he has some thoughts on this game tonight and also a lot of thoughts on the week coming up here in college football. But I have one, just a light night here in Major League Baseball. Light day, a couple picks for the afternoon games. And then I think one of your games is later tonight. But let's start in the afternoon at that dump Tropicana Field there in Tampa Bay. Going to go with another first five run line. Hit on one of these last night. Hopefully do so again here this afternoon. Going to go with the Twins first five run line. So they need to be leading at the end of the fifth inning. Even money on this one. So Taj Bradley on the bump here for the Rays. It's gotten extremely ugly for this guy. He was on a nice roll there. I think June into July. But in August, a 10.41 ERA. In five starts, might be time to sit this guy down for the rest of the season. Pablo Lopez going in a completely different direction. He's getting stronger as the season's going on here. He posted a 1.71 ERA in August. And Twins not red hot offensively, but still better than Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay dead last in OPS versus right-handed pitching over the last month of the season. So that will be my solo play here on the diamond today. Late afternoon action, depending on what time zone you're in. Arizona D-backs playing host to Blake Snell and the San Francisco Giants. What do you like for this one?
I know everybody wants football stuff right now, but with all eyes on football, these markets are a little softer in baseball. So let's take a look at Blake Snell under 7.5 strikeouts. Minus 145, got it at minus 135. It's still within a buy point here. Pinnacle, minus 189. We can tell which way the market's moving. 68 strikeouts over his last 48 pitches. That's great. He's been dominant over that stretch. I think like a 1.25 ERA. Well, guess what? He's faced Miami, Seattle, Oakland, Atlanta, Washington, Cincinnati, and Colorado. Some of the worst offenses in all of baseball. He's going to have to, I mean, he's got to face Arizona today. 27th K percentage, number one in weighted on base. Let's go. Blake Snell, 7.5 is a big number. There's lots of paths to this out.
Okay, next up, you have a prop for a guy whose name I cannot pronounce. I'm not even going to attempt it, but I will allow you to do so. Tell us about it.
All right, last one. I'm riding this one until the wheels fall off. Jack Kahanowitz. Books still don't know how to price this guy. He had two awful starts to begin his major league career, and now he's gone over this number in four straight starts. He went 18 outs and back-to-back starts without even throwing 75 pitches. This is the most efficient pitcher in all of baseball right now. 3.35 pitches per plate appearance. It's pretty insane what he does. 60% ground ball rate. He can get out of trouble. He's 6'6". They can go him 93. We've already seen it. They can go him 75. He's going six innings. So the over is 15.5, minus 125, minus 115 area. Pretty good bet today.
Okay, that is it for Jingles today, but he's going to be right back with us tomorrow. We're going to have an avalanche of picks for the weekend NFL game, starting with the Friday night football game. Good-looking game in Brazil, Packers-Eagles, so we're going to be all over that. Also, our favorite bets here for the Sunday games. I like a lot of unders. Not always the most exciting bets, but the name in the game is trying to win money here, people. So hopefully we can do that winning season there last year. So hopefully we can follow that up with a winning season this season. Jingles, thank you for joining. Best of luck with your bets. Enjoy the Thursday night football game. Catch you tomorrow.
All right. Cheers. Good luck.
Okay, let's throw to our interview with Jake Butt, covering pretty much everything that there is worth covering here in the world of football. Let's go to it. All right, it is now time for a weekly conversation with former Michigan tight end, former draft pick of the Denver Broncos, currently doing great work for the Big Ten Network, and fresh off a 3-0 debut with his pick suggestions here last week. Jake, what's up?
I'm riding high right now, Joe. 3-0, like you really can't beat that. Even Rutgers, you know, I called out, I said their win total, and they were the highest graded team in all of college football last week. So I'm riding high, but that means I have to work twice as hard now, right? Like you're most vulnerable when you're on top. So I'm working twice as hard to ensure that we keep this winning streak going.
Okay, Jake, a bunch of different topics to get into here today. Mainly college. We're going to trickle in a little bit of NFL, though. So let's start with the Big Ten, great debut by USC last week. One of the standout performances of the week. They closed strong at the end of the game. Very clutch, of course. 450 yards of offense. Big win as an underdog versus a high-quality opponent. So should they be viewed as a serious threat to the other teams in the Big Ten? If you take a look at the odds board to win the Big Ten championship game, they're a distant fifth behind Ohio State, Oregon, Penn State, and Michigan. Should USC be taken seriously, or is it just like pump the brakes? It's one game, guys.
Oh, yeah. Take them seriously. And you can get great value at this point. Like they got a stretch here. And it was the thing about this is Lincoln Riley caught a ton of flack this offseason, and people were calling for his head and speculating what happens if he doesn't get it done this year. Well, thankfully, we don't have to ask that, you know, continue to ask that question. Never doubt Lincoln Riley's offense, okay? Like, yes, you're replacing a Heisman quarterback, number one overall pick in Caleb Williams. But as far back as he's coached, whoever's been the quarterback has been in the Heisman conversation. Miller Moss made some big-time throws in this game. But the issue was defense. And I mean, I'm telling you, last year on film, I think my high school played more discipline and more fundamental defense than the USC Trojans did. Well, they went across town and got Danton Lynn from UCLA, and they are night and day. Look, they're playing an SEC team in LSU, physical SEC team. Multiple times, for the first time in Lincoln Riley's career, was the USC defense putting the Tigers on their back. They won in the trenches, and I think that's an encouraging sign. When you talk about winning the Big Ten, you have to be able to win from the inside out, and they proved that last weekend.
Okay, so another standout performance from week one, the Miami Hurricanes absolutely annihilated Florida, 41-17, 529 yards of offense. So how fired up should Hurricanes fans be, or is it another situation like it's one game, pump the brakes here, guys? So what do you think of Florida here going forward, or Miami, excuse me?
Yeah, well, the context matters because you look at the preseason odds of teams to win the ACC, and Miami, I think, was behind Florida State and Clemson. Both those teams have gotten boat raced. I mean, Florida State is it's a broken team at this point. I don't know how you overcome it. That's where the expectations can work against you. You know, they still look like they're upset about being left out of the playoffs last year, that they forgot to take the field this year. Clemson, boat raced by Georgia, and just don't look like a championship level team. And of all those teams, you know who has the best quarterback? Cam Ward at Miami, noticeably the best quarterback in that conference. So those are the key pieces for a team to win. Chris, the ball that it's burned in my head when he decided not to kneel last year and caught, like, as long as he doesn't beat this team can go very far.
Okay, so those were two of the standout performances. Is there a standout performance that you think people shouldn't overreact to, something that we might look back on and say, hey, that was a big outlier that took place in week one?
So I'm calling the Ohio State game this weekend, and I get it, they're playing Akron week one, but we had heard this entire offseason that this is the most talented roster in college football. Urban Meyer, Jim Tressel go on record and they say this is the most talented Buckeye team that they've ever seen. So they're setting the expectations high. And we had to go turn on the tape, and I've watched that game now three times. And I look at that roster, and they have thoroughbred horses across the board. They got this freshman wide receiver named Jeremiah Smith. He was the only non-quarterback rated number one overall at any position since Dorian Green Beckham. You have to go back over a decade. This guy looks like Marvin Harrison Jr. He would be a first-round pick next year if he was eligible to be drafted. Their defense is the best they've had in years. Like, this roster effectively has no holes. And I know they're one of the favorites to win the conference, but they have some big games. You know, of course, they got Oregon later in the year and Michigan. But, man, it's going to be very tough to beat the Buckeyes in any situation this season.
Okay, speaking of Michigan, they play in probably the biggest game of the weekend. I think that's fair to say. They are hosting Texas. The Wolverines, a 7-point underdog, despite being on their home field. This is the first time that they've been an underdog at home since November 27th, 2021, versus Ohio State. So a 7-point spread total on the lowest end, I guess, 42.5. How do you think this one goes down?
Look, I mean, just again, we cannot deny the film. We cannot deny the film. And the Wolverines looked like a team offensively versus Fresno State that lost their quarterback as a top 10 pick. That's replacing their top 6 O-lineman, their top running back, their top 2 wide receivers. Their O-line, they are dependent on their offensive line to succeed. And I don't think I saw enough last week on tape for me to be confident in that group. On the flip side, Texas, they got Quinn Ewers. He's potentially a first-round pick. They're loaded at wide receiver with talented freshmen and transfers. To me, this game is decided. I look at this as it's a race, okay? We talked about the speed outside. Those receivers are racing down the field. But can Michigan's D-line race to Quinn Ewers before he can get the ball out? Michigan has to win behind a stout defense. They got to keep this in a low-scoring game. But at some point, you got to say your offense is going to have to put up points, and they look shaky there week one against Fresno State.
Indeed, they did. Okay, so two more games of note here. Let's talk Iowa versus Iowa State. The Hawkeyes favored by 2.5 or 3. Total 35 points. This is the lowest total of the week on the board here for college football. So these teams, week one, they combined to allow a grand total of 3 points. And they have gone under in 8 straight games against each other when the Hawkeyes are the host. What do you think of this matchup?
Let me ask you this. I just want to ask your opinion. When you hear Iowa Hawkeye football, what are those things that come to mind?
Defense
and pretty poor offense, right? Like, it's been extreme. And that's the general consensus. But they made some big moves this offseason. So they hired a new offensive coordinator, Tim Lester. And then remember last year, their offense, it didn't look great. but it looked much better than the lasting image down the stretch of the year when Cade McNamara, their transfer quarterback, was healthy, when Luke Lachey, their day two tight end, was healthy. Like, they dealt with injuries as much as anything. Well, all those guys are back healthy, and they have a stud freshman. Believe this or not, Iowa has a freshman wide receiver. I think he was outside the top 1,000 players in the country, so this is nuts to say. Reese Vanderzee, he's 6'4", 207 pounds, had one of the best freshman games by a Hawkeye receiver in the history of their program. So all of a sudden, like, I really think we're going to have to change our expectations. The Iowa offense will be improved this year. Their defense, as good as they were last year, will be improved. I just don't see how Iowa State wins this game.
Okay, so Jake High on Iowa. I'm a Canadian. Ottawa, the capital of Canada, by the way.
There
Jake.
You go.
Okay, ranked matchup here going down Saturday evening. Tennessee, NC State, Volunteers favored by 8.5 on the road. Total on the high end of 61.5. Tennessee, pretty good performance offensively last week. They dropped 69 points. They covered the spread as a 38.5 point favorite. They went over the full game total by themselves with that 69 points. What do you think of this matchup?
I think this spread started a lot lower too, right? I think the initial line was around 4.5, and it's been just bet up and up and up. And, you know, man, would that have been nice to get in there at that 4.5 spot? Because, you know, Tennessee, once again, you mentioned the offense, and they got this freshman quarterback in Nico Iamaleva, who could be a Heisman candidate already. I mean, seriously, he's that talented. He only has 2 starts. One of them was in the bowl game last year versus Iowa's defense, and he shredded them up. Very few quarterbacks do that. They got thoroughbred horses outside at wide receiver. And the big thing is you look at NC State last week, their offensive line was able to give their quarterback and their skill positions a ton of time. Tennessee has one of the best edges, probably the first edge off the board in next year's draft in Pierce. He's going to get after NC State. So even though this is going to be a competitive game, it's hard to pick. I just look at the roster and I look at the tape and I say, Tennessee is a team that's just on a different level right now than NC State.
Okay, let's shift over to the NFL here a little bit. So one of the most polarizing coaches in all of sports makes his return to the NFL here. Jim Harbaugh, of course, head coach of the Chargers now. And you, of course, played for him in your final 2 years at Michigan. So I got to ask, what was it like having him as your head coach?
A unique experience. I mean, you see the clips in the media. He's a little bit of a quirky guy, definitely unique. But in a way, that's why the locker room grew to love him, you know, because he is just himself. The things that stand out is, you know, Jim Harbaugh is an old school coach. He's going to grind you. And modern coaches are kind of going away from that. They want to keep their team fresh. So if you're going to grind your team, you better win. Otherwise, you'll lose the locker room. The good thing is for Coach Harbaugh, he's won everywhere. So I'd imagine the Chargers are sitting there saying, we're tired of losing. We're perfectly fine working harder if it leads to winning. And the other thing is he's a guy that goes against the grain always. So they're sitting there in the AFC West against Patrick Mahomes, right? Well, as good as Justin Herbert is, I don't think you want to go toe-to-toe and try to out-duel Pat Mahomes and Andy Reid in the passing game. The formula should be to develop a great offensive line and run game and control the clock. That's what Jim Harbaugh does. I saw they have a fullback that is a 307-pound defensive lineman. So, I mean, they're going to have some unique packages. It's going to be like turning back the clock to the early 2000s, and you'll see some old-school smash-mouth football.
Okay, I'm sure I'll have a lot more questions about your playing career as the season goes on here. But, of course, the NFL kicks off here tonight in Kansas City. You have a best bet for Sunday, but do you have any thoughts on the season opener tonight between Ravens and Chiefs?
What a fun game. I mean, I will just say this. This one's a complete toss-up at this point because it's hard for me to pick against the Chiefs, but I have to acknowledge the fact of a shortened offseason, you know, going to back-to-back Super Bowls. And, you know, as good as I think they'll be, these week one games are always interesting to take on. I'm really excited to see the Ravens offense with Derrick Henry too. I mean, that's something that I think we could look back on at the end of the year and say, how did you let this happen? How did you let the Ravens, who want to run the ball, get Derrick Henry? What a great way to kick off the season. If I had to pick, I've learned my lesson. I know we said this last week. It's just hard for me to pick against the Chiefs, but I can see this one going either way.
Yeah, I like KC as well. Okay, so that's the game tonight. Now on Sunday, there's a game you have circled as your favorite bet of the weekend in the NFL. Break it down for us.
Got the Vikings over, or Vikings by 1.5 over the Giants. And I just look at this and I say, even though, okay, so I'm betting as much against Daniel Jones as I am for the Vikings. I'm just out on him and the way he looked in the preseason coming off an injury. I just don't see him leading this team to victory. And I feel some tension in that locker room that when adversity strikes, that may work against them. On the flip side with the Vikings, they go out and draft J.J. McCarthy and they bring in Sam Darnold. And, you know, Sam Darnold may not excite people as it's not the big name that you'd hope to lead your team. But I'll look at the pieces that they have there. Of course, Justin Jefferson, T.J. Hockenson coming back from injury. And I say Sam Darnold is probably poised to have the best season of his career because of the way the Vikings are set up. I just think they have a much better roster and a much better football team that wins there in week one.
Yeah, Darnold is set up to succeed. No excuses. Like a lot of these guys that come into the NFL and they are set up to fail right off the bat. I think that's the case in New England this season. But if you look at Darnold, at those Jets teams he was on, he didn't have a whole lot of help.
No one's winning with those rosters, right? Like it was, they didn't give him a chance.
Absolutely. Okay, so just to be clear, Iowa would be your favorite bet of the weekend here in college football?
That seems like a lopsided line. Iowa State, under their current head coach, I think they're 1-7 versus Iowa. This is a home game for the Hawkeyes, and I think this line, I'd be shocked if Iowa State can even score 3 points versus Iowa defense. I mean, that's how talented they are. This is going to be a top-5 defense at the end of the year. And again, I said it, I think Iowa's offense is significantly improved. There's also been some injuries for Iowa State's defense at critical positions. So again, this just, it starts to lean towards saying, I really think Iowa's going to roll to victory here.
Okay, Jake, let's end with this. A tweet of yours over the past couple of days got the attention of donut lovers everywhere, of which I am one. Now, if you, producer Mick, will bring this up and show it here, but I fall into the category of a donut lover. I bring my sons out for donuts probably every other weekend. It's a fun little thing that we like to do. Now, I got to ask, like, I'm not one to criticize the food taste of others. I do not believe in doing so. Some people like pineapple on pizza, cool. Some people like their steak well done. Steak well done for me, that's not for me, but to each their own. It doesn't affect me in any way. So your donuts ranked apple fritter, strawberry sprinkled, and blueberry. All good donuts. It's hard to find a good donut, but I got to ask, have you only had exposure to fruit-flavored donuts in your life?
No, I mean, Boston cream, they just missed the cut. All right, I like the double chocolate glaze, just missed the cut. But here, I like to put down donuts. You know, if I'm getting donuts, I'm getting a half dozen and it's going to be a whole deal. I'm going to put down six of them. So the issue I ran into is that the chocolate and cream, they're just heavy donuts and it's hard to just roll them off. But, you know, the fruit flavored, even though they're still donuts, they're light and I can put down three blueberries in one sitting. Apple fritter, best bang for your buck donut. To me, that is just a standout donut that's good at every occasion. So I figured that might get some controversy, but I didn't know people were as passionate about donuts as they were. So it's good to always get into some conversation with the Twitter folks.
Yeah, I don't think a bad donut truly exists unless it's, you know, been sitting out for a week or something like that. But even a plain donut, if it's done right, it's absolutely fantastic. A little heavy. But big donut guy.
What do you think about like the maple bacon ones? I mean, that's always a bit unique. I'm kind of out on those. I think you can overdo a donut.
Like it's trying too hard.
Yeah.
Like an artisan donut. Who is that made for? I like a good blue collar donut, right?
Exactly. So, and you know what? I was at the store and there was policemen coming in to get donuts and a coffee. And that's usually an indicator that you're at a good donut spot. Like that's the stereotype, right? The cops love donuts and a coffee and the place delivered.
There we go. Okay, football and donuts with our guy, Jake Butt. So he got off to a fantastic start with us here last week, 3-0. Gave us some pretty good selections here for the upcoming weekend. we think and we hope. So fingers crossed for that. Jake, best of luck with those bets this weekend, and have a great weekend on the call for the games here. Football and Donuts with Jake Butt. So let me just say a little tip for the people out there, how you can, if you're looking to win over a group for whatever reason, you know, it's a nice gesture to do little things like this once in a while. If you're invited to somebody's home for something, maybe it's a barbecue, maybe it's a Super Bowl party, everyone's getting together to watch a game, whatever it might be, a game night, show up with a box of donuts. They will absolutely love you. A nice little treat. A dozen donuts isn't too expensive. It's a nice little surprise. A variety of donuts. I highly recommend it. So Jake, a big apple fritter guy. Our guy P. Bostana chiming in. Boston cream. I think, yeah. I think Boston cream might be the goat donut. A nice double glazed. I don't know. Let me know what is the best donut in the chat, the live chat. Let us know here. Okay, so if you're just tuning in at the very top of the show, we gave out our best bets for the Thursday night football game. Producer Mick, if you want to bring up the graphic for that. If he has that, there we go. Ravens versus Chiefs, best bets. So I like, no messing around here, nothing fancy. I like Kansas City to cover the spread there, -3. I think a bit of a theme for them might be that they were pretty flat in the season opener last year, so expect a little bit more urgency this time around. Then I'm going back to the well on the wagon from last season. My favorite trend of last season, Chiefs second half unders went 18-3, including the playoffs. We'll see if that can carry over to week one here. Then Jingles went with a couple of high-profile players. Derrick Henry over receiving yards. 6.5 seems like a low number. Might be able to get that on one catch. And a Patty Mahomes to get her going here, over 66.5 yards. Some baseball here as well. This game gets going here, and I think I bet a half hour's time. Twins down in Tampa Bay. I'm going to take Twins on the first five run line. Even money on that one. Blake Snell under 7.5 strikeouts. And this Jack guy, I'm Jack K, we will call him, over 15.5 outs. Maybe, yeah, people don't want to bet him. Maybe he's being undervalued because people cannot pronounce his last name. Munchkins, you know, they call Munchkins up here in Canada Timbits, if you've ever been to Tim Horton. I will say Timbits, you get a box of 20 for $5. Not a lot of things out there that you get a good deal on anymore. I think that's some pretty good bang for your buck. And the covers, they're trolling me here. Dolphins putting up a donut for sure. Absolutely not. That is not happening. They are dropping 30 points on the home field. I think one of my picks tomorrow is going to reflect that as well. So speaking of tomorrow, it is going to be the mega football show every single Friday here on Before You Bet, breaking down our best bets for the NFL Sunday games. Tomorrow, the NFL Friday game. How great is that? And then Brad Powers will be along talking best bets for the biggest games in college football. It's going to be your number one destination for football betting, the mega Before You Bet football program every single Friday. Like I said, guys, if you're new to the show, if you're new to Covers, if you are not subscribed to the Covers YouTube channel, smash that button right down there. We're getting pretty close to 20K subscribers here. Also, another reminder, the show is also available via podcast. If you prefer to listen to a podcast and watch on YouTube, listen on your way home from work, at the gym, out walking the dog, whatever. Mowing the lawn. That's what I do. Put the pods in and helps pass the time a little bit. So a lot of excitement here. Just counting down the hours, counting down the minutes here for kickoff. Ravens versus Chiefs going down. Cannot wait to do it. Cannot wait to get into the rest of the week one action. It is all going down tomorrow. Same time, same place. Thank you guys for tuning in. We will catch you guys again tomorrow. Woo!